Amen and good morning, everyone. That was okay. It was decent. It was like a solid four. Okay, so let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. Awesome. Well, my name is Daniel. My friends call me Stallion. And I was here last week as we did our VBS celebration. And so some of you guys, when you saw me up here, probably dreaded thinking that we were going to do a game or an activity. But I promise we are not doing that this morning. We're just going to be looking at God's word together. And I am so, so excited and so privileged to be able to share with you today. As I said, last week was Vacation Bible School, and this was my first year helping out in all three of our sessions. And so it was pretty crazy. I mean, the problem with the sessions is I had to be at the opening to talk to the students, and then again at the close. And so it wasn't quite enough time to go away and do anything to leave the church campus. And then in between sessions, between the morning and afternoon and evening, there wasn't enough time. And with all the cars out there, I was so worried that if I'd run off and try to go get coffee or something, I'd come back and get stuck in traffic and not be able to make it on stage to work with the students. So I pretty much lived here all last week, camping out here at the church, being a part of this. Friday, finally got a chance to go home. And Saturday, worked really hard to get all those VBS songs out of my head. Amen. And then we showed up Sunday morning, we sang them all over again, and it was back to square one. Well, because it was my first time with being so involved with Vacation Bible School, I didn't know this, but some of our staff who were at every session took some time on Monday and Tuesday off, and I didn't think it'd be a big deal. And so Monday morning, I came to our staff meeting, our youth staff at 10 o'clock, and showed up, and we went through our meeting, and then I sat down at my desk and realized my brain is fried. There's nothing going on up here. And so I did what I could. I tried to work in some emails and ended up leaving early, took a nap and went to bed early that night as well. So Tuesday I came in, thought I was all rested, ready to go again. And same thing happened. I was at my desk and I was like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be working on. I'm still thinking about what happened the previous week. What's going on? So Tuesday I went home, I powered through. I went home that night, went to bed at a normal time, thought, okay, everything is good, everything is fine, I'm ready to go. Tomorrow's Wednesday, we're starting all over again. And so on Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, our staff gets together for a prayer time and we go through a Bible study or a book of the Bible, and we spend some time praying for the church and for our staff and building community amongst each other. And that meeting is at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I set my alarm clock for 7:30 that day, thinking, man, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna have my quiet time, some time to read, some breakfast, it's gonna be amazing. And so Wednesday morning rolls around and I woke up without the alarm clock and thought, wow, this is pretty good. I'm back on track, I'm recovered, I'm ready to go. And so I rolled over, I looked at the alarm clock, and it was 9:19. And I had that feeling in my stomach. I was like, no, because it's not even just that you're going to be late or going to be a couple minutes late. I was already 20 minutes late, and I was still in bed. That means that even if I, like, snapped my fingers and teleported myself to church, I still would have been 20 minutes late. And I still had to shower, and I went, yeah, I definitely need to shower, definitely need all of this, need to get ready for the day, for what's to come. And so finally, I just decided, you know what, there's nothing left to do but to own up to it. And so I texted someone and said, listen, I overslept, I'm so sorry. And I got here a little bit late. But that feeling in that moment, this is like anxiety poured into me, and I was just like, overwhelmed, not knowing what time zone it was, what country I was in, what I was supposed to do next. Just that feeling of overwhelmingness, of worry of I'm gonna get fired because I'm late, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that. Maybe for you, this is a daily occurrence, or maybe this happens a little less often. But if we're honest with ourselves, probably all of us in this room at some point or another have experienced some type of anxiety or some type of worry. If David Olshine were here, he would say, let's have a group therapy moment. I like to just say, let's just be honest for a second. Don't raise your hand for this. But have you ever suffered from anxiety? Have you ever thought to yourself, what am I going to do? Have you ever gone through worry and stress and been anxious in a situation? I think the truth is that if we were to think about it long enough, all of us, each and every one of us, could say that we've experienced this at some point or another. There's been something in our lives, something in our circumstances, something that has happened that has come and just made us feel overwhelmed. Like there was this huge pressure on us. Like we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to move forward. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay. It's normal to have these feelings. At some point or another, just by the fact that we are living life, we will experience anxiety. We will experience worry. We will not know what to do at certain points. You see, our whole existence, our whole life kind of is developed like that. If you think of an infant, man, an infant is, they are dependent on their parents for food. And so when you take an infant away from their mother, what happens? Man, they begin to scream because they're hungry, because they need that, they want that. If you're a child, man, you are nervous. You are worried about what's in the basement and under your bed and in the closet and the dark in general. And when you get to school, man, there's all kinds of scary things like teachers and tests and homework, fitting in. And when you finally figure it out, you're a senior and now you have to worry and be anxious about where you're going to school, what you're going to study. And even after 4 years or maybe more of college, you get to the end of that and you think, man, did I study the right thing? Why don't I have a job? What am I doing with my life? What's going on? Why am I back at my parents' house? And then when we finally do put ourselves in a place to be able to have a family, there's all the worries of having kids and job, marriage, and even as we progress to getting older, our health and retirement and grandchildren and everything else that comes with that. And that's just regular life. That's just everyday living. That's not even counting the extra things. Like maybe it's not just worrying about how you're doing in your career. Maybe it's worrying if you have a job at all or if you have enough money to make certain payments or if something is going wrong in your marriage, worrying if you're even gonna have a marriage. There's some real things, some real pressures, some real stress in life. And we're starting to see this even sooner and sooner with students and student ministry. And Trevor Miller has a theory that I think it is a working one. But what happens is we live in a culture now where children have grown up after 9/11. They know what terrorism looks like. And it's so accessible. It's something that they can see. They can get on their devices. You know, with one of the latest school shootings, when that happened, I remember going online and trying to read up more information about it. And there was actually a video of the student who went to his school just hours before the shooting. And he was telling everyone what he was going to do. And he recorded this video and left it on his phone. And it was all over the internet. And everyone had access to it. Or we have all this social media interaction with people that we get this anxiety. We don't know how to deal face to face with certain people. One of the things that we get in student ministry all the time, whenever we're promoting an event, a parent will call and say, well, do you know who else is going? I want to make sure my child has a friend who's going to be there. And that's great. That's fine. I just remember for me, that was the exciting part about youth group, was going and making new friends. And I understand I'm an extrovert to the max. But the thing is this, we live in a culture and a society where things are starting to look a little different. Each and every one of us is experiencing anxiety or pressures or worry because of something or another in our lives. The other important thing to note is that whatever it is that keeps you up at night, that makes you anxious, that you worry about, may look different than what someone else is going through, but it is very real to you and to your experience, to your circumstances. You see, I like to equate it with fear. A lot of times we want to poke fun at someone's fear, but that's the thing, everyone has a fear. And whatever one person's afraid of may not be the same as what you're afraid of, but you have something as well. Now, let me explain it. For instance, I know some people are scared of spiders. Okay, good. No one jumped up and screamed. All right, maybe we're good in this service. But man, people are afraid of spiders. And so you think, man, eight legs, and they're there, they're crawling around. But see, in my mind, it's simple. I mean, you can just kind of like swat it with a flip-flop, or you know, you can like squish it with a paper towel, or sometimes you can flick it or blow it away. Now, if they're big, I don't know, but maybe we get a bigger shoe. But you see, my fear is bees. That's a real fear, okay? It doesn't matter how much you swat and shoe at that thing. It flies around and it'll come sting you. And a spider might bite you at night, but man, bees will call in for reinforcements, okay? They'll get their whole team to come after you. It's scary stuff. But you see, that's the thing. What's scary for one person, what may be anxiety for you, what may cause you to worry, may not be the same for somebody else, but whatever it is that you are going through, it is very real. It's very true to what you're experiencing. It's very true to what you're feeling. And we need to be able to treat it as such and understand that. So this morning, we're going to jump into scripture. We're going to look into God's word and see, well, what does the Bible have to say about worry? What does that have to say about anxiety? How can I live my life, especially if our worries get to a point where it's stopping us from making decisions, it's stopping us from moving forward? How do we go forward? What do we do with this? And so we're going to look at some practical things in scripture. But before we even get to that, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And in Luke chapter 22, we're going to find out that Jesus actually displays anxiety. He shows this, like we see this in his life. And so in Luke chapter 22, as you're turning there, I'll give you some context. Essentially, Jesus has just had the Last Supper with the disciples, and he's getting ready to go to be killed on a cross. Now, you can imagine that. If there's anything that's going to cause anxiety, if there's anything that's going to cause stress. I mean, he knew this moment was coming. This was the reason that he came to earth. Was to die on a cross for the sins that we committed. That was his whole purpose. That was his whole reason for coming. And even his time leading up to his adult years and his years of ministry were all culminating in what was about to happen. We talk about anxiety and stress, and we see it here. In verse 39, it says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to a place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Verse 41, "And he withdrew from them from about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and he prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from the prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" I always like reading those extra verses at the bottom. "He came back and found the disciples sleeping," because that would have been me, 110%, all right? I have fallen asleep in many of prayer circles before. It has nothing to do with the prayer. It has everything to do with the tiredness. But we see Jesus in these important moments, right before he's about to get ready to die on a cross. And it says here, we see clues in here where he goes to his father and he prays and he says, "Father, if it is at all possible, remove this cup from me." And he's crying out to God. He says, "I know why I'm here. I know what my purpose is. I've been training for this. This is what I've been getting ready for. But if there's any other way, you're sure there's not? Okay, I mean, like, you're positive?" And we don't know what the conversation looks like exactly. But the truth is that he was interested in seeing, is there one last chance to do something different? Because of the stress, because of the anticipation, knowing what was to come, the torture, the beating, the separation from Christ, the difficulty, dying on a cross. It says in verse 43, after an angel came and strengthened him, in verse 44, it says, "Being in agony, he prayed even more earnestly, and sweat became like great drops of blood falling down from the ground." I'm not a doctor, I'm not an expert, but if you study this and research this, there's a condition called hematidrosis, where essentially there's glands, right by, there's vessels right by our sweat glands, that because of physical pain or mental and emotional stress can actually rupture and burst. And these blood vessels will go into the sweat glands, and as we sweat, blood will come out. It's not something common, it doesn't happen all the time. If you're getting ready for a soccer game, don't worry, you'll be all right. But it's something that happens, and happened to Jesus. Because the anticipation of what was to come, because he knew what was going to happen, because he knew what was next, built up with the emotion behind it, he started to sweat drops of blood. And this same piece of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, it actually says that he was so sorrowful even to the point of death. We see him filled with emotion, filled with anxiety, filled with anticipation for what was to come. And it wasn't a good thing. He was worried about it. There was a part of him that didn't want to do this. Not in the sense that he didn't want to do this for us, but in the sense that the manner in which it was going to come forth was scary. And so for us, the first thing that I hope that we could do today is realize that we can actually take comfort in knowing that Jesus experienced something similar to what we experience, probably even more so than us. But so that when we worry, when we're preoccupied about things, when we're stressed out about our everyday situations in life, the fact that we can go back and think that Jesus, the Son of God, who created everything, has gone through this, has experienced this, can give us great comfort. And give us great encouragement and understanding that, man, even Jesus has experienced this. And some of us would be like, "All right, Stella, that's great. Jesus experienced it. Appreciate it. Thanks. But what about me? What about what I'm going through? What about the stress that I have? What about my everyday life?" And so what I hope to show us today is also this, that not only did Jesus experience this, but God actually wants to take care of us. God desires to care for us. In Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is doing through his earthly ministry, he's teaching and he's explaining and he's talking to the disciples. And in chapter 6, verse 25, he says this. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, whatever you will eat, whatever you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? By the way, this is a rhetorical question. He says, are you not more valuable than they? Of course you are. You're my children, made in my image. In verse 27, he says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, alive, and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and a lot of people think that as he was sharing with them, they were probably out in the field. They were probably walking about, and he says, look at the birds of the sky. It's like, do you see them? And they had the opportunity to look up and maybe see some beautiful birds. He says, they don't have to worry about where their food comes from. But they go to the ground, and they find some worms. They find insects. He goes, I'm taking care of them. I'm looking out for them. He says, look at the flowers of the field. And he probably pointed to some flowers. He says, look at them. They're so beautiful. They're so magnificent. He says, even Solomon, who was one of the kings of Israel during the highest time of reign and rule, of great prosperity, he says, even Solomon, during his reign, could not have had something so beautiful as these flowers that I've made. And he says, are you not more valuable than this? He says, I'm looking after you. I desire to care for you. But you see, these verses here are one of those things that I think we have to like remind ourselves every day. You see, the circumstances don't always feel like that. We have to remind ourselves of truth. This past weekend, one of my roommates got married, and we had a great time celebrating his wedding. He's from India, and so we had a big Indian celebration. It was incredible. I loved it. And during the ceremony, the preacher who was conducting the ceremony actually said these words. He said, sometimes in marriage, you don't have the feelings of wanting to continue to love someone. Please don't say amen to that. He said, there's some days where you don't feel like loving your spouse. There's some days where your feelings aren't into it. He goes, but it's in those moments that you have to remember the truth, the vows, the commitment that you're making today on this day that you're going to love no matter what. You see, a lot of times our emotions are distracting. Our emotions will take us away. Our emotions are affected by circumstances. And it's in those moments that we need to rely on truth, not on what we're feeling. You see, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my aunt in Ohio took my siblings and I to a science museum. It was awesome. We walked around. It was one of those very interactive places. You would read about, you know, whatever you're about to do, and then you would go and experience it and get to try it out. I'll never forget, we walked outside of one of the exhibits, and there was this net that was kind of laid across these two towers, and across the two towers was this wire that went across from one to the other. And you could read on the little plaque at the bottom before you went up the stairs all about how the bike was on this cable and had a counterweight and how it was like scientifically and according to physics impossible for you to fall off. And I always wondered, well, then why did they put the net underneath? But anyway, she convinced me to try. We ran up the stairs and I got on the little bike, it had like a car seatbelt buckled in. I started to pedal and my knees started to get a little shaky. I started to get a little worried, and I'm pedaling. I turn around and realize I've only gone 2 feet. And I'm like scared to death. And so my aunt decides it'd be funny to hum the theme song to the movie Jaws. Da-dum, 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 da-dum. And I'm sitting there freaking out, okay? Like the bike's shaking, the wind's blowing. And I had read about all how it's like impossible to fall off of this thing. And in that moment, my feelings were of fear, of terror, of I'm going to die on this ride today. But I had to remind myself of the truth scientifically. People way smarter than me have gotten this right and figured out that this thing can't fall. And so I quickly started to pedal backwards, making my way back to the entrance and got off. And sometimes that's what we have to do with God's word. When our circumstances look crazy, when our environment is stressful, when we're starting to worry, starting to panic, starting to not know what's going on, if we're gonna make it through the day, if we're gonna make it through the situation, through our job, through our life, with our kids, whatever it is, we have to remember the truth that even though I don't feel it right now, God desires to take care of me. God who created everything. I mean, think of your favorite part of nature. Maybe it's the sunrise, maybe it's the sunset, maybe it's the beach, maybe it's the mountains. Whatever it is, God who created the stars, the galaxies, the wind, even the South Carolina heat, God who made everything desires to take care of you. And so even when the circumstances are scary, even when it doesn't feel like it, even when you're not certain of it, you can rest on his word that that is true. And we can find encouragement from that. But that's not all. In Philippians chapter 4, God also commands us not to worry. He commands us not to be anxious. In chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Do not be anxious about anything. In the Greek, this is written in the imperative form, which means that it's a command. It's something that God is telling us to do, very specifically. Yeah, we did this series with our student ministry a while back called Low-Key Sinning. And we talked about the sins that we often forget about. They're kind of neglected. There was this book called Respectable Sins that we kind of loosely based it on. You see, we know the big sins. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't rob banks. You know, stuff like that. We're pretty good with those things. But then we get down to other stuff like pride and jealousy and the other stuff that Scripture talks about, materialism, or not to be anxious. We forget that these are commands. We forget that this is in Scripture. But the beautiful thing is that God says, don't be anxious about anything. But then he also explains, well, how can we not do that? How do we move forward from that? And he explains it here beautifully. It says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's laid out right here. Prayer, supplication, make your requests known to God. You see, prayer is simply going to God and talking with him and asking him and telling him what's on our heart. Man, if we have a difficult thing coming up, if we have a tough situation in life, if something is going wrong, step one is to go tell someone about it, to go to the Father and connect with him and say, Jesus, here's what's happening in my life. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm concerned with. You know, there's great power even in a psychological sense of simply telling someone else what is going on. It relieves some of the pressure, some of the stress. And by going to God with prayer and supplication or some traditions say petition, it's kind of this idea of continually going. We don't go to God and say, Lord, I'm so stressed, I'm so worried, help me in this situation, bye, I'll see you tomorrow. No, whenever that comes to mind, whenever we're thinking about it, whenever it's brought to our attention, whenever we're feeling stuffed by it, continually we go to God and say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand. I don't know why. Help me. We make our requests known to him with thanksgiving. This is important. This is huge. This is the cure to so many mindset problems that we have. We would sometimes just stop and pause and write out a list of the things that we're thankful for. I know our mothers have told us to do that for years. But it really works. It really works if we stop and realize that we're grateful for all that God has done, that we're grateful for what he's providing, we're grateful for how he's working. If we can pause long enough to think through those elements, to think through that stuff, God starts to work in a powerful way. And then we get to the promise of this verse. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which surpasses understanding. I like to call this the peace that don't make no sense. I know it's not correct grammatically. The peace that doesn't make sense. The peace that you should not have in a crisis situation. The peace that you should not have when you're facing a difficult time in your marriage. The peace that you should not have when your children are getting into trouble or getting into serious stuff. The peace that you should not have when you're fired from a job. It's in those times that if we can pause and make our requests known to God, go to him in prayer, believing that he can do something, his peace comes and helps us. It guards our minds and our hearts, it says in Scripture. I don't know if you guys remember this. There was a famous poem written back in the day called Footprints in the Sand. Do you guys remember that? A lot of people have those like in plaques and like beautiful things in their bathrooms. I'm a single guy in my 30s, so I can tell you guys I don't actually like those kind of things. But this poem, for some reason, always kind of stuck with me. And I thought it was incredible, but I just wanted to read it to you guys. It says, "One night I dreamed a dream. It says, as I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across this dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during my saddest and most troublesome times of life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and I will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings, when you saw one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You see, the idea is this. It's in those times that we need God most, that he comes closest to us, that he is right there, right beside us, walking and journeying with us. You see, we get distracted. Our feelings, our emotions take over. We can't see what's happening. We can't see past the crisis, but God is right by our side. Most of you guys know this, but for those of you who don't, about 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with a curable type of cancer. And it was a crazy time. I had never really experienced anxiety and stress and worry until something like that happened. I'm pretty even keel. I don't really get stressed out except for when my alarm clock doesn't wake me up. But I experienced for the first time in my life some really trying times. Some times where I wasn't sure if I was gonna make it past a certain season. Some times where I wasn't sure where I was gonna find my strength to go find treatment again, to go to another appointment or go to another surgery or something like that. And it was in those moments as I prayed, as I would cry out to God and say, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have strength for this. I need your help. How am I gonna be an example? It's in those moments that I experienced a peace that didn't make sense. It wasn't anything that I did. It wasn't anything that I could have mustered up. It was simply God coming and providing for me what I needed in that moment to get me through that difficult season. You see, we all experience anxiety. We all experience worry. We all experience stress. It might be something small, it might be something big, but if you're feeling it, if you're going through it, that's a big deal. That's what you're experiencing in that moment. That's what's on your heart. That's what keeps you up at night. But the amazing thing is that Jesus understands what that was like. And God cares about us, and he wants to show us how not to live like that, how not to be paralyzed by stress and by anxiety and by worry. And the cool thing is that Jesus not only experienced it, but he also models for us what our response should be. You see, in the passage that we read in Luke 22, we see him doing everything from Philippians. We see him going to the Father. It says that he goes to pray as was his usual, as it was his custom, like he always did. And he says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup. He makes his request known. He says, Lord, this is my preference. I would love to see us find a different solution. I would love for this story to go a different way. And then he offers up these words. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He says, here's what I would prefer. Here's what I would do in your shoes. Here's what I would love to see happen. And he makes his request known to God. And it even says here that an angel comes and strengthens him. The peace that passes understanding was there, was on him in that moment. But he says, Father, nevertheless, not my will, not my desires, not what I think is best, not what I think I should do, but your will be done. Jesus models it for us. He shows us what it's like to be in a pressure-packed moment, to face anxiety and stress beyond belief, beyond understanding, and to turn to the Father and say, Lord, I need you. I need you in this moment. And so it's always kind of like a cliche thing to say in church, you just gotta pray more. That's not what we're saying. What scripture is saying is that if you turn to God and cast your burdens on him, he will provide a way. He will intervene. He will come and work in your life through whatever situation, through whatever darkness, whatever circumstances are going on. You see, one of the days of Vacation Bible School, we had the opportunity to teach this to the students. We told them not to worry. We told them not to be preoccupied with what was happening, not to be worried about the storms of life. And we taught them an object lesson. I want to repeat this with you guys today. If you would take your hands for a second. Take your hands and put them like this. Put fists in front of you guys. Go ahead, take your hands, ball up in fists like this. The truth is when we're holding on to our anxieties, when we're holding on to our worries, when we're holding on to our issues, whatever they are, when we're holding on to them so tightly, we get caught up, we get wrapped up, and we start to get stressed. There's nothing we can do with it. The scripture teaches us instead to release them. Go ahead and open up your palms, open up both your hands. If we can put ourselves in a posture of surrender, to say, Father, here's everything that I would do differently, here's how I would love to see it, but not my will, but yours be done. The Father comes with a peace that doesn't make sense, and he meets us right where we are. And so my prayer this morning is that God would come and meet you wherever you are. In just a second, I'm gonna lead us through a prayer, and I want you to think through just whatever it is in your life, whatever it is on your heart, whatever it is that you're concerned with, whatever it is that preoccupies you, whatever it is that's bothering you, that's a frustration, that's a hardship, and that you would say, Father, I don't know what to do, but I trust you. And so with your hands open like this, close your eyes, bow your heads, put your hands out. And I just want us to take for the next couple seconds of silence. I just want you to identify, what are you stressed about? What is it that worries you? Where are you anxious? What situations of life are difficult? Where do you not know what to do? Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning praying and surrender. Lord, each and every one of us, for every single person in this room, is going through something different. Big, small, medium, tiny, every size. Father, we've got stuff in our lives that afflict us. We've got things that are weighing us down, things that stress us, things that make us anxious, things that keep us up at night worrying. And Father God, most of us have tried in our own ways to fix these problems. We've tried in our own ways to worry ourselves out. We've tried to find solutions. So Father, this morning I pray that you would help us, though, to come to you as the only one true solution. To surrender, to say, Father, I don't know what to do. I don't desire this, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Holy Spirit, would you work in a mighty and powerful way this morning in our hearts as we sing this last song, as we go about our week, as we go about the rest of this day, as thoughts come to our minds, as problems arise, as situations get complicated, would you point us back to you, the author and finisher of our faith, the one who can give us the peace that shouldn't be in those crisis moments, the one that can give us strength and courage and lead us out of the darkness. Jesus, we are so in love with you. We ask for all of these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.